We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
It's so good to be here with all of you tonight. And as you know, we're going to be doing things a little bit different. Just a couple of things to share with you. First of all, it is a new month, so you should have a new prayer bulletin, all right? So make sure you get your hands on that. Can you guys believe it's May? It's hard to believe. It's just so hard to believe how fast time is going. And so please note that there's a lot of things happening in the month of May, a lot of things going on. God is doing a lot of amazing things here in our church. Amen? And we're excited about that. I want to say this tonight because I think it's important for us to understand that everybody struggles with grief. I don't know any other way to say it than that. Some of you are struggling in silence. Some of you are going, oh no, I forgot this is what tonight was going to be. I wish I hadn't come. Some of you are really hoping to glean and gain some information tonight that will help you. One of the things that we realize here as the pastor and as staff is that it's important to highlight ministries. We want to show the church what ministry looks like. But in addition to ministry, it's more important to highlight people's stories and what God is doing in their life. And one of my goals as a pastor this year, coming in the next few years, is to highlight the stories of people, people's salvation stories, people's stories of redemption, breaking free from addiction, marriages being saved, going through the process of working that out. And tonight, in order to do that, I want you to watch this video and kind of start to get a window into what grief is, what the ministry of grief share is, and hopefully kind of set the tone in your heart for what's coming in just the next few moments.
I was angry at God for letting this happen.
My me-focused life was shattered. I was afraid I was going crazy.
Exhausted from trying to hold it all in and act like I was okay. I felt completely lost. Resentful that life was going on like normal for everyone else.
I was lonely, scared of my new normal.
I had an intense longing for things as they used to be. Was this pain ever going to go away?
I lost my husband suddenly, and we had three young children.
I lost four family members in 6 weeks.
A miscarriage halfway through my pregnancy.
Several friends in high school, and more recently, my father to heart failure.
And I got the phone call that my mom had taken her life. And I just will never forget that moment. In time, everything just froze.
I really felt like things were in control and I had a good handle on everything. I quickly learned that I wasn't in control of anything.
My head was in a fog. I didn't know where I was.
It was so completely opposite of everything that I knew and trusted and loved about God.
I couldn't find that hope. I didn't feel that closeness with the Lord.
Why have you chosen to take my brother, who loved you so much?
When I started the grief recovery program, I really didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be the girl who needed to go to something like this, and I didn't want to share my pain and cry in front of others.
It had been 13 years at that point since I had lost my mom, and I felt like I was going to walk into a room and there were going to be people there who had a really fresh loss, and I would be taking something away by walking in with my old loss.
When I got there, though,
I was made to feel so at ease that I could express myself and get it off my chest.
That what I experienced was common with other people. And man, that was freeing. It was so freeing to find out that I wasn't just crazy.
I could put that burden down for a while. I could be honest. Maybe let a little of the crazy out.
The freedom to forgive my parents for not being around. As silly as that sounds.
I used to think that time would heal wounds. And time doesn't heal wounds.
Grief never really goes away, but it can be turned into something different, and that something different can be hope.
Because now I have tools to work through it and to go to the Lord immediately and lean on him.
Lamentations 3:32 says that though he brings grief, he will also show compassion. And yeah, I was grieving and it wasn't fun, but at the same time, he was there and he was sitting with me in my pain and he had community around me.
Feelings of loss that bring us together and help us to support each other in ways that bring us outside of our situations to a greater understanding of the bigger picture of what God's trying to do.
Jesus tells us there's going to be many troubles in this world, but to take heart, I have overcome the world.
I can take the next step. I can do the next thing.
And I was relying on myself, the power of one, instead of relying on the power of the one that I could find true recovery in.
Through grief recovery, I found that it's not so much about death, but it's about life.
I think all of us have a story or know a story. Chad was sharing with us this morning in our prayer time about his pastor friend Joel, who's up in Jacksonville, who did the funeral of an 8-year-old little guy. My first funeral that I ever did was for an 11-year-old little boy who died of leukemia. It was my first funeral. And it was a life-changing moment for me. And having been a pastor now for quite some time, having walked many dark journeys with people and being in the room when someone has left this life and gone into the next, and I realized very quickly that I felt as a pastor that I needed a better way to be able to help people and help communicate. And so not only did I advance myself and understanding, because church, to be honest with you, if there was any people on the face of the planet that should know how to grieve, it should be God's people, right? We are the ones that should understand the process, and yet some of us just don't. And I was in that boat. I didn't know how to process a lot of things and had been at funerals and trying to give comfort and seek comfort, and then some loss that my wife and I suffered in our own family. And then even just recently, my grandmother, who went home to be with the Lord here a couple of months ago. And so after being the pastor here for a little while and knowing I really wanted to do something, you know, it's amazing how God brings the right people at the right time to do the right ministry. Have you ever noticed that? And I certainly have. And so I remember when I was speaking with Bob and Robin, and they began to talk to me about grief share, and they said, "What do you think about this ministry?" And I said, "Well, I think if God's putting it on your heart, you should do it," is what I think. And so it was about 7 years ago now that Bob and Robin, and can we thank them for championing this cause and doing this? There have been multiple Monday nights where I know they've been tired. It's been a long week. I've worked Robin to death, and yet here they are Monday night serving food, receiving people. And this year in our church, this last season of Grief Share has probably been the most well-attended, the most informative, the most interactive group. Robin gave me all of the sheets and shared with me everything that God had been doing here just this week. And I had a chance to actually read some of the comments and some of the things that people were putting down. And as you hear me say all the time, nothing great is ever achieved alone. No ministry is built just around one person. Some of the other leaders that have served with them is Robin's mom, Miss Pat. She's kind of been on this whole thing, this journey with them for quite some time. Iris Slagle, I know you're helping out in there quite a bit. And then Jack and Sharon in the early days. And then Chuck and Melinda also. And in fact, we're going to hear from Chuck and Melinda in just a little bit. And so I wanted to express to you and extend to you what's been happening kind of behind the scenes and kind of how we got here. And this ministry, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many folks God has brought into our church body as a result. And I want to say this before I have Bob come, and that is this, that grief isn't just something that happens in isolation. It should also happen in the context of community. We grieve together. The Bible says we bear one another's burdens and we lift one another up. And so Bob's been really the kind of the spokesperson, he and Robin championing this and leading the cause and loving people and opening our church every Monday night to the community for 2 semesters a season. And so I really felt it would be appropriate and important for Bob to be able to come, share something that's on his heart, and then we're going to come to the floor and have a panel discussion. So would you make Bob welcome as he comes?
Well, again, I want to thank Pastor for letting us have this ministry. This is a hard ministry, something that I would have never really seen myself doing. It wasn't my direction or my intent, but God has opened up a door in a great way. I want to thank all my leaders who serve beside us and listen to Heartbreak every Monday night. And it's you watch the video, and grief is physically and mentally draining at times. I just want to share a couple of little things with you about grief, share, and how it all came into existence. But I want to share some scripture first. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are brokenhearted." And Pastor said, as Christians, we should grieve different. And we have something that others don't have, and that's the hope in Jesus Christ. Grief Share is a faith-based ministry. It's a hybrid ministry. We have videos, we have workbooks, and it's riddled with scripture. Every single night, people are hearing the plan of salvation through Grief Share. And that is the ultimate healing when they accept Christ as their Savior and they can move on with a new life. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens." That goes against our grain. We have a hard time, I think, at times coming alongside people, especially when they're hurting, because we don't want to be sad. We want to be upbeat. We want to be happy. And to come alongside people that have lost someone and to cry with them, to put their arms around them. As Christians, we need to go outside the walls of the church. 150 people come through Grief Share in the last several years. People join a church, baptized, come to know Christ as their Savior, and it's been very encouraging in those points. We have the answers as Christians, and I say over and over again for people that are going through Grief Share, you are being equipped with tools to help others go through their journey of grief. You can't go a day without talking to someone, seeing someone, a neighbor that has lost a loved one. And we've got the answer. We've got the gift and the hope of salvation to encourage people through this journey. I kind of touched on just the hardness of this ministry. Almost every single cycle that we've gone through, we have lost someone, family, cousins, friends. And this cycle was no different, as we've lost someone close to us as a church. And Grief Share was started because of a neighbor of mine who is by herself. I come in contact with people so often that have lost a loved one that don't have no family. Lady down the street from me lost her husband. I had the opportunity to do her funeral. And this whole ministry was birthed because of one person looking for help. And we went to pastor and said, "What do we do? How do we help this lady?" And that's a dangerous thing to go to a pastor's office and say, "How do you help someone?" Because you'll find yourself in a ministry before you know it. Being Pastor Micah, had the opportunity to baptize this lady and my in-law swimming pool. This is what it's about, folks. We need to go outside the walls. Pastor's been preaching about going outside the walls of the church, and that's how we do it with ministries like Grief Share, Divorce Care. We're impacting people with the gospel, and I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with grief, you've never dealt with it, you know, we would love to talk to you, come alongside you, and help you with the journey. If nothing else, you will be equipped with the tools to help others through this journey of grief. Most of us never talk about grief. We don't talk about death. We don't want to talk about it, and it's going to happen. It takes us by surprise, but death is going to happen. And grief is going to happen. Zig Ziglar says the cost of grief is because we had the opportunity to love someone. If we did not love an individual, we would not hurt for them. That's really powerful if you start to think about that. Some of the quotes they say is, "God will never take nothing away from us that we can't live without." As much as that hurts and as hard as that to say, a loss of a loved one is not vital to our lives. Another quote that they say, "Do we love our loved one more than God?" That's a hard question. I don't know if you've ever tried to process that question when it's asked to you. Did you love your loved one more than you loved God? I struggle with that every time I hear that. One of the promises we have is Psalms 30, verse 5. It says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. God promises that joy will return. It doesn't say it's going to be an easy journey. It doesn't say when it's going to happen, but God promises to return that joy. And if you've lost a loved one, you just know how hard it is. You looked at the video. You know, how many can relate to the numbness, the sleepless nights, the questions why? We deal with this week in and week out. Why did this happen? What if I would have went to a different hospital? What if? Over the years, we've dealt with a lot of tragedies, murders, suicides, violent deaths. And I don't say that to bring sadness to you, but to enlighten you of the importance of a ministry just like this. We had a murder-suicide two or three cycles ago. Lady was probably in her late 80s. We got an email last week sometime. This lady accepted Christ as her Savior. Her child lives out in California, and we've been in contact with them. We're looking at having Robin's mom possibly disciple an 80-plus-year-old lady who just gave her life to Christ through this ministry of Grief Share. This is why we do it. We don't do it for no other reason but to impact people with the gospel of Christ. I would say 50% of the people that came probably are not affiliated with our church. We average 20-plus people every Monday night. Think about that. People are looking for help. They're going to find help. We have the answers that are faith-based. They can go someplace else, or we can open up our doors and reach out into the community and help people through this journey. One thing about grief, it reveals our heart. And Paul Tripp says this, our grief always reveals our heart. Our grief should motivate us, not paralyze us. But because so often it paralyzes us, that's why we do Grief Share. One of the hard things about this ministry, and it's only happened twice in the 8 years, to have someone look at you face to face and say, I know my loved one is in hell because they rejected Christ on their deathbed. This is a hard ministry. I encourage you to pray for us on Monday nights. I'm always thankful when Pastor Micah says, hey, I'm praying for you, brother. You know, those things, because we walk in and we're tired, we're beat up, and lots of times you walk in and say, I can't do this tonight. Pastor said Jack and Sharon started this with us. One reason they're not helping us no more is they physically and mentally could not do it because of the mental strain of dealing with people's losses. They say grief is a club that no one wants to be part of. I just want to re-say this again. Zig Ziglar says, grief is the price we pay for loving someone. And as I close out and just finish off with this, this is another quote by Paul Tripp. Through these videos, we are really blessed with some godly counsel guys that and women that share their hearts and to help through this journey of grief. But Paul Tripp says, we all need to remember that we never grieve alone because God is a God of tender mercy and grace. He weeps for and with his people. He always gives you the grace you need to do what he calls you to do in a time and places where he leads you. He is a God of all comfort who comforts us in our suffering so we can bring his comfort to others. So let yourself grieve. Represent the heart of God in your grief. Guard your heart against the dangers of grief. And remember the empowering grace that makes all these things possible. We have, proper English, we have the Word of God to bring it to those who are hurting. I would encourage you, if you know someone that's grieving, if you yourself are grieving, let us know. We want to reach out and help you all and be part of the healing process. And come in, sit in some of the classes. It's going to start again in August. First of August, we should start up. And just thank you again for allowing us to have this ministry. And keep praying for us, because it's brutal at times when you hear tragedy, deaths. And but God is good, and his promises never change. And I just want to thank the church again for allowing us to do this.
What I want to do is invite Bob and Robin, actually, and Chuck and Melinda, if you guys would come to the platform. Two there, I'll sit in the center. I was talking about how could we encourage and share and help communicate to the church kind of some of the backstories and the ministries that are taking place, and I had asked Robin for some folks that might be willing to share their story and talk a little bit about what has happened in the journey that has brought them here. And she said, I think we need to talk to Chuck and Melinda. And so I put them both in a full Nelson, drug them into my office, and I didn't. In fact, they were so open and so willing, and there's so much to share. There's no way we'll get through it. And so I have some things that we're going to kind of walk through tonight and let you hear their story of what God did. Would you thank them and make them feel welcome for being here tonight? You guys should be all set. So let me start out by saying, first of all, thank you for getting up here in front of the Philistines. I know it's never easy to do that. I know both of you, like so many people here, you guys have went through a loss. And so, Chuck, what I'd like you to do is just tell us about your loss and what happened.
Well, I don't know if this is on or not.
Yeah.
Just
hold it close.
All of my family, except for my daughter and two grandsons, have passed. Mm-hmm. But the one that affected me the most was my 26-year-old son. On December 16th, 2005, that video got to me. You'd think that long ago you'd be over it, but we say you never get over grief. You just kind of get through it as best you can. But December 16th, 2005, he was driving his company's truck up in Indiana, where I'm from, and I was sitting in a doctor's office with an IV in my hand. I got infusions every two months, and I received a phone call from his wife telling me to come home right away, but wouldn't tell me why. And basically, his truck hit black ice, went across the interstate, and hit a semi head on, and my world changed forever.
Melinda, I know you suffered a loss as well. I know we talked about that. Would you share?
I did. Back in 2007, I have one child. Went to wake him up for church. He was 16 at the time. Had actually just had his driver's license 3 days. He was healthy, your typical, know everything 16-year-old boy. Went to wake him up for church Sunday morning, only to discover that he had died in his sleep throughout the night. As Chuck said, my world changed. I had lost grandparents, aunts, and uncles, even my mother when I was younger, which I didn't actually learn to grieve her death until 20 years later after my son passed. It's just, your world is just turned upside down. And I loved the so many of the things that they highlighted in the video as far as going crazy and not sleeping and not being able to think straight. The video just really highlighted a lot of the things.
I want to say this. You see them on the doors on Sunday greeting. Big smiles. There's big Chuck, big as life. There's Melinda, big bright smile every Sunday. You would never look at them and think, this is what happened to them. This is their story. Most of you know this building fills up in here two times to the walls every Sunday, and then 70 to 100 plus people in our front building, and they're sometimes over there in that building with us in the early morning service. I'm saying that so that we understand that there are people every week who come into this church who are hurting, who have a story. And they may have a smile, and they may be serving the Lord, but they're carrying something heavy. And what I love so much about this couple, and what has been such a blessing to me, is the fact that they haven't let their loss define who they are. It may have been something that happened in their past, but it's not going to be something that defines them in the future. And they have taken this loss, this very painful loss of losing your child. And some of you, you're here, you know that pain. You know that feeling. And as we were talking, I know this isn't a love story, okay? But whoever wants to go, okay? Because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I know you guys actually, through this loss, met each other. Tell us a little bit about that. She wanted to go first.
Well, his son had passed probably about 18 months before my son, so he was a little further along in the grief process. I walked into my very first grief group. It was about 6 weeks after my son died. And I remember seeing him and a couple of the other people in the middle of the room. They were talking and they were laughing. And I thought, there is no way the people in this room understand the grief that I'm going through. I can't put a sentence together, and these people are talking and laughing. So that was my first impression of him, if you will.
A guy laughing at a grief therapy counseling session. Yeah. You weren't starstruck at all, were you?
No, and the support group we were part of was not faith-based, but we met once a month. And I was a facilitator, so I saw her for an hour once a month. That's our only contact. And that went on for about a year, year and a half probably. And circumstances at will. We were ended up both being single because grief can, if you don't have a faith-based grief share, everybody grieves differently. And it can play havoc on a marriage. My marriage ended. It wasn't my son's mother. And eventually I asked Melinda out. She didn't know I was an old man. She did ask me my age, so I told her the truth. But we looked at it like our sons did not die so that we would meet. But through the tragedy of death and our love of God, which is another story for me anyway.
Yes.
We did meet, and out of that tragedy, we came together.
And you've been married how long? I asked you this in the upper room, and this was the same question. I got out of trouble.
It'll be 8 years in July.
8 years. So, you know, I think it's fascinating how even in death, new life comes forth, yeah, and new love comes forth, and what God has been doing in your marriage. And I asked you what drew you to Faith Baptist Church. Do you remember that? And do you remember what you told me?
Ask us what?
I said, why did you come to Faith? What drew you to Faith? And you said, because you guys had Grief Share.
Right. We started the Grief Share at our church in Indiana. We went to a church in Indiana that they did not have Grief Share, and we asked them to start it. And we did, I think, 3 or 4 13-week sessions there. So when we decided to move to Florida, we were looking for a church, and we went online, and when we saw Faith Baptist had Grief Share, that's what brought us here. Mm-hmm. And then the people, we met the people, and of course, that sold us.
Yes. With the exception of the pastor.
Well, all the pastors, but Pastor Todd was the main one.
You know, guys, one of the things that you guys had shared with me was how you were full of questions, how you were so angry. And I think as a pastor and a counseling pastor, for me, I always have to run to the Word of God to help people, because life experience helps. It gives illustration, stories, books. But for me, and I loved what Bob was starting with tonight when he went to the Scriptures, could you guys share just a little bit a passage or something in the Word of God that has, number one, helped you, but then two, sustained you, something that maybe you've been able to use to say, you know, here's some truth that will help you through this?
There's a lot of scriptures, obviously. I think my biggest one that I hold on to the most is Proverbs 46:10, the first part of it, where it just says, "Be still and know that I am God." Mm-hmm. And that means so much to me, because I was struggling, I was angry, I was asking questions, and it was like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, you know, I'm going here, I'm going there, and I'm not finding any answers. And a dear, dear friend of mine, Peggy Sims, back up in Indiana, in her 82 years of wisdom, mm-hmm, one day looked at me and said, "Melinda, maybe you just need to listen." I was so busy about me trying to figure out how to make it better that I had forgotten to go to the Lord. So that just is still very dear to my heart. Sometimes I just need to be still, and I need to listen.
Yeah.
And I'll try to remember this first, because I sometimes have memory problems. But for a long time, I felt guilty, and this is one of the things Grief Share touches on. I think it's session 7. We have unfounded guilt over the death of our loved ones. My son was 26. He was out of the house. He was, you know, doing a good thing. And his death, there was no one to blame. I couldn't blame a truck driver. I couldn't blame God for the weather. I mean, there was no one to blame, and yet I was blaming myself, because when he was 18 and getting out of high school, he wanted to join the Marines. And I fought so hard to stop him, because I had been in Vietnam. My brother, who was like 19 years older than me, had been a POW in Korea. And the last thing I wanted him to do was go into the military, especially during, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and all that.
Right.
So I finally got him convinced not to go, and he went to college, got an associate's degree in electrical engineering, and he was doing that work when he was killed. So I had a lot of grief or guilt over that. Mm. And Job, I think it's Job 14:6, says that God has numbered our days and our months, and there's, you know, it's finite. There's nothing we can do to add another day to what God has determined. And even Zig Ziglar, apparently that's one of Bob's favorite guys, he's got a quote in there that says our days are numbered.
Right.
There's no point in worrying about it, because we cannot add 1 second. And so I figured if my son had joined the Marines and been in Afghanistan, if he had, no matter where he was going home to the Lord on December 16th at the very time he died.
Right, right.
And so Job 14:5, I guess, 14:5 is the verse that helps me a lot. Mm.
I know you guys have gone through multiple losses. Is there anything that passage-wise, Robin? Bob's already talked, so
One of the verses that has always been very close to my heart is Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, that says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee."
Yes.
Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Mm. So that's one of my go-to verses.
Okay, Bob.
I don't know. I think the one is trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not onto your own understanding. Mm. I know my thinking's so polluted at times. And it ends with, "In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And life is so much more peaceable when we let go and let God control our thoughts and our actions. Mm. And
one of the things that we discussed in passing about the ministry and then recently was why is it that as believers, especially we in the context of where we are today, why is it that we don't want to talk about grief? Why is it that we shy away, or you know, we give the classic Christian answer of "I'm good," or "I don't need to," or "I'm fine, I'll just deal with it." For some people, it can be a date. You know, I'm sure those dates are very difficult. And certain holidays, certain seasons, certain times of the year will invoke a lot of feelings, and we just stuff it away. We just don't want to talk about it. And there's a grave danger in that. But you guys all shared some very insightful things as to why, as Christians, we don't really talk about it, or in general, just as people, we don't want to talk about it. And so whoever wants to jump on that first, and maybe from your experience and what you've seen, share from that angle, please. Whoever wants to go first.
Well, I think a lot of times in our videos, they talk about it. When the death is recent, people are in shock. And so when they're first approached, I don't think they have a plan. They don't know what to say. Somebody comes up to them and says, "What can I do to help you?" They don't know how to answer. Hmm. They just don't have anything prepared.
Okay.
I think that's one of the things we kind of teach in Grief Share, is to prepare people that are coming in with maybe a 3x5 card they carry. When someone asks them, they can just hand them. We do and work with something called a Grief Share letter, to have something printed out to let people know what your struggles are and how they can help, because you're bombarded, especially in a church setting. People are concerned, they want to come up and help, and they're asking if you're okay. Well, you're not okay. You just lost someone. What can I do? I don't know. I can't even think. Mm. And by sitting down and having something thought out, prepared out, you know, it just helps tremendously. And that's one of the things we try to do, is come alongside and help people through that journey of the whys.
Okay.
You know, how can we be more effective in helping through the journey of grief?
And I think a lot of people don't ask because they just don't know what to say. What if you ask me how I'm doing and I start crying? Hmm. That is very uncomfortable for the other person. And that's one reason why we invite people who maybe aren't necessarily going through grief, aren't necessarily dealing with it right now, to come and sit in on our sessions. I just think it's a great takeaway, because eventually you're going to come across somebody who is dealing with grief. If you yourself aren't dealing with it, it's just a great tool to have in your tool bag, if you will. Hmm.
I think that just in general, people don't like to talk about death and grief because it's sad.
We don't want to think about it, and we don't talk about it. And then when it happens, which it is going to happen unless the Lord returns, it does affect each and every one of us in some way, shape, or form, whether it's close or, you know, not so close, maybe just a neighbor or an acquaintance. But when you lose someone, people try to comfort you. They say things that, you know, for a Christian especially, you know, they're in a better place and things of that nature, that you really don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So grief share helps you understand where people are coming from, but it also helps you to know how to help people in their grief, not only you going through it, but to be able to help other people.
I think a lot of people have a fear of going into a group therapy session, right? The last thing we want to do is sit in a room and talk about our problems. You know, we don't want to talk about our problems on the best of days. We'll just put them on Facebook, right? But when it's something of this magnitude, the concept of, hey, let's all sit down, and it invokes these feelings of like campfire and kumbaya, and let's all kind of have a cry session and hug it out. That is not what grief share in any way, shape, or form is. But I think a lot of us fear that, or we think, oh, some of you may be sitting out here and thinking, man, I haven't really grieved, or I haven't really had to grief yet. But I think something that they're all saying, and Robin said it, and I think Melinda did as well, very clearly, that it'd be good for some of you to go to some of these so that you can help other people, because you are and will meet people who are in the process of that, and can't verbalize and can't speak to you about it. And yet for some of us, and I want you guys to speak to that for just a second, and Chuck, you actually said something in our meeting that was very insightful about this, why people don't, and your generation, I think, in particular, and I'd like you to speak to that, and then whoever wants to kind of chime in on, as we're getting ready to close this up here in just a minute, on why people are, you know, afraid of that whole group therapy. Or it's like going to counseling with the pastor. And you're like, oh, I don't want to go in there, right? All right, so Chuck?
Well, I think men of my age and...
And what would that be?
That'd be old. I can only say I remember Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody, okay.
Yeah, but in my generation, we were told not to cry. We weren't allowed to cry. You know, if we cried, our parents would hit us harder and tell us, they'd give us something to cry about. If you played sports and you got hurt, they told you, pick yourself up, keep playing. It was a whole different atmosphere. So I remember, now my dad died when I was 10, so I don't remember a lot about that. But as I got older, if someone, like I said, my mom, both of all my siblings, as people died, I just never cried. And even when my son died, I remember twice I started to cry and I would choke it back, even at this advanced age. Mm. And I think it's hard a lot of time for people of my generation to let it go. And that's a shame, simply because, as we've learned, especially in grief share, the tears you cry, the grief tears you cry, are healing tears. They actually, it's letting poisons out of your body. It's allowing your body to heal. And when we go to grief share, something I told Pastor Todd, other than Ron and for a while Ken, no men come to grief share. Now, Bob and I are there, but men will not come to grief share. They just will not. Their wives will come. And I'm talking about, you know, if a wife has lost a parent or a brother or a child. But the men, even in the share, the grief group that we went through where we met, men just didn't come.
Hmm.
I don't know why that is.
I think you spoke to that. I mean, I think that's a part of it. There's a side there.
I encourage men,
yes,
come to this class, come to this, and go through it with us. Because you guys, men, think you can fix it. We think we can fix anything. You cannot fix this.
Mm.
So learn how to be supportive.
Yeah, I think we have the duct tape mentality. As men, we can go to our toolbox and grab any tool to fix it. And sometimes sadness and tears is a sign of weakness in our thought process. But I think it's very humbling to be broken and to see God restore. And that's one of the prayers and desires that I have, that when these people come in, men or women, that we can restore restoration. That's God's desire in any case.
But how do you help somebody who's resistant to that, Robin? When they're like, that's not my thing, I don't want to sit in a group. And that one lady said in the video, like, oh, I'm going to go in there and cry, or walk in and people are laughing, Melinda.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, we've just, through the years, encouraged people, because what you will learn through those videos are things that you are going through that you don't even realize sometimes that you're going through are perfectly normal. It's part of the process. I just try to encourage people and tell you, you're gonna find out things. Try it once. Mm-hmm. I had a lady call the church, and just was somebody that saw it on the website, and she was grieving the loss of her husband, I believe, and she is not a Christian. And when I explained to her what it was all about, and I told her, this is faith-based, so we use scripture, she goes, oh, well, that's not for me. And I was like, well, you know, but we're all human. And I said, we all, you know, suffer through grief and loss, and I really think there's something there could help you. Why don't you just try it once? And she showed up, and she literally went through all but two.
Wow.
And she only missed the last two because of a family situation she had to take care of. But she sat there and she listened. And the last one that she came to, she said, you know, this really has helped me. I feel like I've turned a corner. But all through those weeks, she was hearing the gospel, because it's all throughout the curriculum that we use. Mm. And she had the book. Chuck has his workbook tonight. And that's a mainstay. And that has scripture throughout it. There have been times where we give people these books, and
it's a full workbook.
Every week we watch a video, and then we talk about the video, and then there are 5 days, and we don't like to call it homework, but it is just short little, probably 3 or 4 paragraphs that you can read, and it's got scripture in it, and it asks questions, thought-provoking questions that help you think about the process that you're going through and think about the things that you're dealing with. But that's all 13 weeks. So there have been times that we've just given these out with the hopes that people will read them and read the scripture that's in them. At the beginning of the book, has the complete clear plan of salvation at the very front of the book before they ever get started. Mm-hmm. So,
Melinda, if there was one thing you could say to someone out here who's sitting there going, I don't know if I want to do this, what would you say to help nudge them? What was it that made you cross the threshold, if you will, to get into the, what would you say to someone who's still sort of feeling like, for example, the lady in the video said, and this is where I wanted to take this, she said it was 15 years. She never dealt with it, you know, bottled it up, locked it up. And maybe somebody's sitting here thinking, I need to deal with this, but I can't bring myself to do that. Well, how would you encourage them?
I think, first of all, I would say what Grief Share is not. It is not a bunch of people in a room crying for an hour and a half. Are there tears shed? Yes, there are, but it's not just a boo-hoo session. If you're not comfortable talking, that's fine. You can come in and sit the entire 13 weeks and not say a word and walk out with an enormous amount of information. And I think once you get in there and hear other people's stories, you're going to hear yourself in a lot of those people's stories. And that's going to be encouraging. And along the way, a lot of people find that their stories are going to help other people. Part of the reason why I do it, the main reason, is just to glorify God. I want to give that hope to other people.
That's great.
But I also just like to share my story so that my story will help other people. And even after doing this so many years, the stories that I hear, I learn something new every 13 weeks, maybe even every one of the 13 weeks. So not only are you coming to help yourself, your story is going to help somebody else. And another thing is even though it's been 15 years and you may be saying, okay, I'm dealing with it, I'm okay, grief does come out, whether it's in a positive way or a negative way. In some shape or form, the grief is going to come out. So we just encourage you to try to find those healthy outlets so that this grief can work through. It's a journey. It's a lifelong journey, whether it's been 15 days, 15 months, 15 years, 20 years, whatever that may be. I believe that you would find something helpful.
I'd like to end with this. All of you have, been serving in this ministry and doing this, and it's evident through the lives that you're touching that even out of this great sorrow and this time of grief and mourning, there's joy on the other side. And people on this side of it often can't get there. And what is, just quickly as we close, what is the one thing that you would say, how God has used this ministry to bring joy, or you to be a source of joy, to help people?
I guess I would say that I know that one day I'm going to see my son, and if I can just have one other person know that there is hope.
Yes.
You know, our time here is just a blink of an eye, and every time we go through this, I'm encouraged again.
Yes, it's good.
I would say after a 13-week cycle, when you see someone that has changed and they've had the glimmer of hope and they give you that hug and that heartfelt thank you, that's not just thanks for doing this, but thank you. And we've had someone say, you know, if we didn't have this grief share, I probably would not be here. I don't know how you take that. And
sure.
Just very humbling at the end of 13 weeks, and you see the people walk out and they come up and
absolutely
just give you that hug. And, you know, Chuck says, you know, it's a group that no one wants to be part of. But unfortunately, right, death comes and you're going to be part of some club, so why not be part of a club that's going to love on you and give you the tools to help minister to others? Because that's the whole thing, guys, to reach out and minister others through this journey of grief. That's part of the healing we talk about. One of the things we want you to do is start helping others through this journey.
Yeah, because part of the healing process is you being an instrument in God's hand to bring that to others. Guys, thank you for coming up here, for sharing, for opening up. Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.